Okay, do you mind introducing yourself?
Sure, my name is Hazel Dooney. I'm 30. I'm from Australia and I'm an artist. I should add that I work completely outside the traditional gallery system.
Yes, exactly. So the first thing I wanted to talk about was how you started off on the traditional path and what made you decide that it wasn't for you.
Well, I started down a traditional path by going to art school, but about 6 months into the course, I knew it wasn't going to work for me. It wasn't skills-based, and it already seemed archaic to me. I left after 6 months and put on my own exhibition. It was a huge success. A lot of people came, it sold well, and it had great reviews. Then I accepted an invitation to show at a rather conventional commercial gallery. I was young and had little confidence, but I didn't really have any idea of what I'd accomplished by putting on my own exhibition. So I figured that the next step was to show at a conventional gallery. The trouble is, I did it a few times over the next few years, and every time I found it unsatisfying. From the first exhibition, I did a lot of the work myself, including handling the PR, because even then I realized that what happened to the artwork after I had created it was as important to me as creating it.
Right.
I didn't feel that just delivering it to a gallery was the end of that process. I wanted to introduce it to a wider audience. Commercial galleries, the traditional gallery system, did not do that. It isolated itself from mainstream culture, and little that went into the system was seen by a wider society.
Yeah, I think it's really isolated compared to what you've created with your website, for example. I remember reading in your essay called Life Study that you said you were happiest and most successful when you don't follow the rules. So do you think that this is something that's become more possible because of the climate we're in now? Or do you think that's always been a way to move forward?
I think that it's made possible because of the internet. Without that, I'm not really sure. The net allows you to connect to a vast amount of people on an individualized basis, to connect with them directly. Whereas before, the galleries were in a much stronger position. Artists took their work to galleries, then collectors went through galleries to connect with the work. But the internet eliminates the middleman. It connects people directly without the need for mediation.
So do you think that it's given you more artistic freedom since you left the traditional system?
Absolutely. I've exhibited at different commercial galleries, including some of Australia's best, and I found that each harboured certain presumptions or prejudices that conflicted with what I was doing.
And then when you went independently, I'm sure that although you were still involved in the marketing and the PR before, it must have been a lot more work. So do you ever feel like it takes away from your time doing art?
To be honest, I feel that marketing completes the process of making art. I don't feel that I make art for part of the day and then I do business for part of the day. What I do in terms of the internet and the business side of things is a facet of the art that I'm creating. It's not separate at all. Art is what I love to do, so I spend all of my time doing it. I don't feel it impinges on anything or that anything else impinges on it. I much prefer it this way.
Yes. So I'm curious to know when you first decided that you wanted to represent yourself and be fully independent. What were the very first steps that you did to put yourself out there?
Firstly, I developed a website. My initial idea for the website was that it would act like an archive of my work, somewhere that people could explore its development. That was back in the late 90s. However, I didn't really learn how to use the net properly for several years when I began expanding my online presence from the site to the blog and social networks.
So once you had your website set up, how did you actually get people to come and visit it?
By adding more content, by ensuring that it changed and developed, by starting to make connections online. I send out a monthly newsletter to collectors called Studio Notes. Mm-hmm. By beginning to create a direct dialogue with people and sending information to interact with or to read at a time which suited them, people responded and it built. The more pieces that I did online, the more people came back to my site. One thing fed another.
Yes, I've noticed that you have a very active blog and you're on Twitter, so it seems that you are interacting a lot with your network and that community of people who are looking at your art.
It's exciting. It's also important to continue to develop that dialogue with those who are interested in my work. It's incredibly important to articulate the process of the work, to explain what it's about. I wanted to evolve so that all these separate web presences cohere and become like a virtual studio, an online space. Say Andy Warhol's famous factory, where people could come to view his work, to experience the making of it, to hang out and talk either to him or to people who were involved. The ongoing responses that I've had from various disparate places and people, from West Africa, India and Siberia to the US, UK and Europe, indicate that I'm on the right track with this idea.
Yeah, definitely. It sounds like what would traditionally be called marketing a network, and I think a lot of artists kind of shy away from those words. It sounds like you've taken them and made something much more dynamic and made it something that's actually attractive and a way to just get your work seen.
I think that the tools can be used for things that are much more interesting and important than simply pushing a product.
So did you always feel that way, or was there a time when you found it difficult to sell your work or to market yourself?
I've always felt that way, and no, I've not found it hard to sell.
I'm wondering if, especially when you started off, were you trying to target a certain type of audience, or were you just putting your work out there?
No, I've never tried to target a certain type of audience. I've just put my work out there as widely as possible so that anyone who felt some type of connection with it had a chance to see it, and if they chose to communicate with me. I'm not into marketing as in looking at a demographic or tailoring work to it. I can't stand that. I've been surprised by the sort of people who respond to my work. I have a pretty clear idea of the demographics, but I've never targeted them. I think it's much more important for me to do exactly as I want to do and communicate clearly about what that is.
Hmm. So since you've gone out on your own, were there any things that you did that, looking back, you think you could have done differently? Or did it all go quite well as planned?
Looking back, perhaps if I'd had a little more confidence and done things harder, faster, better, sooner. Maybe that's always what one thinks in retrospect, but on the whole, I'm very happy with the way that my art and my career have developed.
Yeah, it seems like it's working out pretty fantastically. I think a lot of the people who might listen to this will be just starting to represent themselves online. What would you think are the most important things to do as a foundation?
Well, the core of being an artist is to make art and to show your art to people. The most important thing is always the work. How, what, and maybe even where you communicate about your art depends on what that work is and what ideas are behind it. It's still important to exhibit offline so that people can see the work in the real. I also think as I think it's really important to connect directly with your audience and to engage with them. But the internet enables you to do even more in between public real-world events.
So where are the primary places that you connect with people online?
Through the blog, through Twitter, and through my site, in that order. Individual dialogues emerge from those public fora, whether they're discussions about the work, interview requests, invitations to exhibit, or inquiries from potential buyers.
Yes, that sounds great. I've also noticed that you don't, unless I missed it, but I didn't see any way to buy prints or artwork directly on your website. So how do you manage your sales usually?
People email me from my website. I don't have a very large stockroom of available work. Nearly all of my work is done on commission. I don't particularly like the art shops online. Art is about communication and interaction. It's not about art on demand 24 hours.
So do you feel like you connect more with the people who buy your art because you create the step of emailing you first?
I connect because I'm entirely focused on the work and the ideas around and beyond the work. I'm not really focused on selling my art. Instead, I'm focused on connecting with those who are stimulated by my art. Sales are just a byproduct of that.
Yeah. So you said you do mostly commission work now. Some artists seem to have an aversion to that. So I'm wondering what kind of commission work you do.
By commission, I mean that I develop a series of work, and because there's so much demand for my work, people want to buy it before I've even begun it.
Oh, okay.
I develop an idea, a concept, something I feel compelled to express in art. Key collectors are then offered the opportunity to commission a piece within that emerging body of work. I often write in detail about the ideas within the work, and people respond, or not, to that. I don't do requests. I don't change what I'm doing. I don't reserve works for a specific exhibition.
Yeah, that sounds pretty ideal.
Well, it's been a lot of work to get to this point.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And a lot of trust as well.
What do you mean by that?
It's important to be completely committed to your work and to demonstrate that commitment in every aspect of your activities, as I have done. This develops trust among collectors in who and what you are and what you're doing.
Yes, I do think that's extremely important. Because once it's online, it's much easier to feel like you don't know someone. So I think it's much more important to develop that level of trust. Now, going more on trust and selling, do you ever think that people aren't willing to spend above a certain amount when buying artwork online if they have not seen it in the flesh?
No. In my experience, that's never been a problem. People who have never seen my work in real life have commissioned works from me, and they seem unfazed by the size of the works or the prices they have to pay for them. I think it's because I represent the work incredibly accurately, and I have a very open and transparent process of creating the work. I document the way that I create the work and materials used. If anyone has any questions about it, I'm more than happy to answer them. Again, it all comes down to trust.
It's really encouraging to hear. Because I've seen that as an argument against selling online. So it's good to hear that it's not necessarily a limit.
Well, in my case, commissioned work is always paid, completely paid for before it's delivered. It's very rare that people view it in person until it's delivered, often because they're buying from interstate or increasingly internationally.
Yeah. So a lot of people listening will be trying to see what it's like to go online and take their career online. So I think it would be helpful if you could explain to us what the journey was like for you financially, going from gallery representation to where you are now, where you represent yourself?
Sure. During the time that I had gallery representation, I lived at my father's house for the majority of the time and other times at friends' houses. I borrowed money for each exhibition, and after each exhibition was a sellout, I would have enough just able to pay this money back. I worked at a loss. When I began self-representing, when I finally gave up working through galleries, I had enough to completely support myself in my own place, operate a staff, a small studio, and begin producing my own exhibitions. In terms of figures, well, I don't want to say exact numbers. However, over the last 4 to 5 years, it's gone from pretty much nothing or just paying for materials to mid to high six figures. My exhibitions have become sort of annual events, almost like Warhol-like happenings. At my last in Melbourne, I had Deborah Conway perform, as well as Fire Eaters. The catering was by a leading local restaurant, and I funded it all myself.
Well, I think your level of success is unusual. So it's not necessarily that I can say, oh, well, look at Hazel Dooney. If you go independent, this will happen. But I think...
Why not?
Well, I think it is a really solid example that it's very possible. And it looks like you accomplished it through hard work and through being really determined to expose yourself and your work in all the places that you thought were relevant.
Absolutely. But there are a couple of points there. One is that I'm completely committed to this. I think that you have to be. The other is that this is my sole focus in life. This is all I dedicate my time to. I am totally undistracted by anything else, even a love life. It was true. It was clear to me when I first started out in my late teens that most artists only become independent around age 40. I just decided then if I put in twice the effort, I could probably get there quicker. I am openly incredibly ambitious.
Right. Now, did you find, or do you still find, that you feel you need to maintain a certain consistency in the style of your work? Or do you mean more consistency in how often you're creating?
I don't think it's important to show consistency in the style of one's work at all. I think that it's important to put the same amount of effort into your work and to create on a regular basis. It doesn't have anything to do with style. It's about consistency in the quality of your output, not being lazy or not just throwing something out for the sake of it. It's about the way you show your intellectual and technical evolution as an artist. In short, it's not enough just to put your work or yourself online. You have to back that up in every aspect of your life and art.
Yeah.
Without that, no amount of work online is really going to do much for you.
Right. I think that's a really important point to think about. It's easy to get caught up in which social networks to join and how to design your website. So I think it's good to have a reminder that ultimately the focus should be your actual work.
Yeah.
Now, this is tangentially related, but as far as consistency and trust, I've been looking into how different artists price their work, and it seems that one of the main things is that a standard pricing system helps buyers trust that you have a consistent way of deciding prices. Now, I've seen other artists who prefer to price based on how attached they are to a piece or how much they like a certain piece, so I'm just wondering what your process for pricing is.
When I began, I priced very inexpensively. I noticed that some people price quite high right off the bat. Now I don't have anything that's less than five figures, but I grew my price with my collector base. As a result, my prices, though relatively high for a young artist, are realistic and very well supported. they are also very consistent and well-maintained. I believe in an across-the-board price because it's a product with a value. If you want to create a consistent value for that work, it needs to be consistently priced. This is evidenced by the very few works that find their way into the so-called secondary gallery market and the price they are bought for there.
All right. Now, on your blog, you've written about why it's important for artists to take advantage of the internet and do sort of the same path that you're doing. And I'd love for you to talk about that a little bit here. Why you think that the middleman, such as galleries or art dealers, is becoming less important or less relevant?
Well, the middleman is a buffer, an obstacle in a lot of ways. If you're trying to communicate with someone and you pass your message through another person, it becomes diluted. On the other hand, the message can be conveyed more powerfully when you interact directly. The internet gives you that ability. It gives you the ability to interact directly with your audience, no matter where they are, no matter what time it is, and at a time that they choose. The gallery system is a business. It's set up so that galleries make a profit. It's not set up as a charity for artists. It's not set up as a business for artists. It's an independent business to sustain gallery owners. And it's a business that has never been of enormous benefit to artists. The most interesting and arguably successful artists have broken away from the gallery system at some point in their career. Andy Warhol is probably the most obvious example, as is more recently Damien Hirst. I'm trying to be diplomatic.
It's okay, you don't have to be polite.
Okay. Galleries are inconvenient. Worse, they're quite often arrogant about what is considered art. They'd love to decide who can see what art at what time and even who should and should not be able to see it. A gallery is such an impersonal, sterile environment. It's cut off from the real world and has little to do with art. It's just another business. Artists have been frustrated by them in every sense of the word for a long time. The internet enables people to have a much richer relationship both with the work and with the ideas behind the work, with the process of the work, as well as the person who created the work. And I think that's so powerful that it renders the traditional white room of the bricks and mortar gallery that you have to physically journey to go to, where you see the art completely removed from the context of meaning or personality, obsolete.
Yeah, thanks so much for sharing that.
It's my pleasure. I am aware that I'm at the beginning of this, that's why I find it really exciting, but I do think that it's just inevitable. And I do think that it is possible for each artist to use the internet in their own way to create real freedom for themselves. And, yeah, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk to you about it.
Yeah, it's been my pleasure. I think that's about it. But thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me about this.
Yeah, my pleasure.
Okay, great. Bye, Hazel.